Blog Talk Radio.
To be discussing tonight what God's heart for us, his children, is when we are suffering due to fear. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for being our Heavenly Father, God. We thank you for you being the creator of the heavens and the earth and having us in mind when you were creating the heavens and the earth for your purpose of dwelling with your children and your children dwelling with you in all eternity when there is no devil, there is no sickness, there is no disease. And Father, I thank you for you making us a part of that plan and giving us the desire to win souls for the kingdom so that that day of the return of your son, Jesus Christ, can hasten, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to live a more than abundant life by renewing our mind to your word and rejecting those things that are contrary to your word, God. Father, I thank you for how you have magnified your son, Jesus Christ, as the living word and the written word and the spoken word above all things so that we can submit to his authority as our master in order to deserve and receive the right to stand before your throne boldly and confidently, knowing that we are receiving your love because we're listening to the words of your son, Jesus Christ, intently with a heart to do what he says. Father, I thank you for you calling us friends because we are obedient and because we do what your son, Jesus Christ, says for us to do. Father, we thank you for the order that you placed very clearly in your word as to how things are to be. And Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to submit wholly to that design so that we can benefit in our lives by living a more than abundant life spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, emotionally, and financially, and benefiting in a way that allows us to sow into your kingdom mightily with all of the overflow from our lives into the lives of others, God. Father, I thank you for you teaching us to develop a love walk that is worthy of your name and a love walk that protects us and makes us immune to the attacks of the adversary because we know that your perfect love casts out all fear. Father, we thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Donald Lawrence, The Prayer of Jabez.
hand upon you.
Keep your hand upon me.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network. God's great love for you, teaching. And, you know, really, it's more of a forum than a teaching, because here to discuss how you have experienced God's great heart for you when you were going through suffering due to fear. And many of us know, if we've been in Christianity long enough, that one of the acronyms that we use for fear is false evidence appearing real. And we know that the devil lost his power when Jesus Christ was given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, after God raised him from the dead, after being dead in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights. And it is the devil's job to convince people that he still has, and he still has the ability to wreak havoc. Even that this is not, it is not God's will that we would be destroyed. So if God allows any of the attacks of the adversary to come to us, to get to us, it's for the purpose of perfecting us and getting us more patience, more experience, and more hope. But one of the things that can happen is if we're not prepared, if we don't have our feet shod with the preparation of the good news of the gospel of peace, then we could find ourselves knocked off balance. We could find ourselves actually ensnared, and we can put ourselves in a bad situation by not obeying what God says in his word as it pertains to how we are to address these attacks of our adversary. So one of the things I want to discuss tonight is just to ask each and every one of us, what is your response when you are suffering, but you're really suffering from fear? You're suffering from what you think might happen in the future, or you're suffering from something that you've been threatened with by the report of a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or a judge or some body who is threatening you. And one of the favorite games in the world is a game called poker. And poker is a card game where people basically make bets on their hand, and they try to guess who has which cards in their hand and who has the strongest hands, and then they make bets on what they think others may have in their hand based on what they have in their hand. And you can literally win that game with a bad hand if you know how to bluff, if you are a good liar and a deceiver and a faker, and you're able to convince others that you have a strong hand, and you behave as if you have a strong hand by betting high. And if everyone else folds, if everyone else quits, then you can end up winning a hand with cards that have no value. And this is what the devil's doing when he is attacking children of God. Now, you know, when he is wreaking havoc on people in the world who do not have the power of the Holy Spirit within them, who do not have the Comforter in them, then he is free to do whatever he will with those people because they're subject to him. And those who are sold out to him, who are his children, in fact, he's definitely free to do whatever he wills with them. So I want to open the discussion up tonight for instances where God delivered you from something that you just knew was going to happen, and it didn't happen. Either God gave you peace and you were able to stand your ground and stay still and receive God's comfort and watch God's deliverance happen, or a time when maybe you were disobedient and you panicked and you did something other than what God would have you to do when you created a bigger problem than you actually had. And I'm gonna open the conversation for anyone who wants to join in. And general comments about the topic, about what is God's heart for us when we're suffering due to fear.
Well, I'd like to start off by saying how when you first get saved and you're immature, you're not developing. So when you start going through tests and trials, you kind of have a reference for people in church when you're young, if you were raised in church, you're talking about tests and trials, but nobody ever really elaborates or expands upon why they're for. No, there was no scripture. So it's almost like when you get saved, you start bracing yourself because you know you're going to go through tests and trials, and it seems like from shout to shout, but you're not learning nothing. You're not gleaning nothing. So the more that we read the word and the more that we mature spiritually, what I realize is that it's, you know, when Paul would say that we're supposed to rejoice when we go through tests and trials, and I'm paraphrasing, and I used to feel like that was so odd. But once I understood why, it was about sonship, that we were not illegitimate. We were legitimate sons of God through Christ. And so there were things that we shared in, you know, the fellowship of his suffering. So there are things that we're going to go through. But it was to develop us and make us more mature and make us more sharper wherever God was trying to develop or whatever God was trying to purge. And I started to understand about purging. Just like in a tree, when you prune a tree, certain things have to go so that tree can bear good fruit or, you know, excellent fruit, sweet fruit, fruit that doesn't, you know, that's not dwarfed or mutated or anything like that. And so God does that with us when we go through tests and trials. And like I said, in the beginning, I would brace myself. I'd be like, oh, and I would have all this dread, and it created a level of anxiety instead of saying, okay, God, if I'm going through this, it's something you're trying to teach me, something I need to learn, something that needs to be developed, something that needs to be purged, something that needs to be cleansed, something that needs to be exposed. And so it was like I was going down the list, but that didn't happen until years and years down the line. And it really started with me reading the word and understanding the word about what does the word say about suffering? What is it for? I remember when I was in school, I had to write a paper. We could choose any theme we wanted, and I came out of Hebrews. I think it was Hebrews 12, basically about sonship and the things that we go through. But it's like, you know, how these things that we go through teach us. There to teach us and to discipline us. And it's not punitive in nature. It's corrective in nature. And when you're out there doing everything you think you can do, and then when you come into the kingdom of God, there needs to be certain things that you need to be conditioned to do, conditioned to think and to believe. Your whole belief system changes. So, of course, you will go through some tests and trials and persecution. That's also for a purpose as well. But now, if I feel like I'm going through some level of suffering, one thing I choose not to do, which I used to do this too, is compare my suffering or test and trial to somebody else's. Well, Lord, they didn't, you know, well, why am I going through this? They not going through this. Or it was always like, am I the only one going through this? Kind of like Job or kind of like Elijah and saying, you know, am I the only one? No, you're not the only one. Come up out of that cave, you know, and go do what you're supposed to do. And so those were the, and it's still, I'm still learning. I'm still, you know, and a lot of times the closer you get to the Lord, he'll sometimes give you a warning that you're about to go through some rough terrain. And it may be this, but this is what the purpose is. And he'll show you. And it's almost like you got an open book test at that point. But to be honest, we always have an open book test because when we go through tests and trials, we need to really make sure we know the word and we put on the whole armor of God. And so because he's trying to develop something there, and you can talk to other people, and I don't believe in commiserating with others about what you're going through, but what is the purpose of this? Lord, Amen. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to show me? So That's just my comment.
Well, Pastor Cartwright was great input. And when you look at this, it's interesting because, you know, God tells us in Ephesians that we do not shed blood, but we war against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And when you think of principalities, areas of principalities, and they're multiple. And then it says that we war against powers, and we war against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so God is telling us over and over and over, especially in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he wants us to renew our mind to the Word, to the Word of God, so that we can replace what we think, what we feel, what we observe, what we believe, what we've heard, with what the Word of God says, so that all of the resistance to the truth of the power of God's Word can be pushed aside, and we can stand on what the Word of God says, and then we are prepared to enter this battle between the spiritual versus the carnal. And unfortunately, what I've observed a lot in the body of Christ is that we will take carnal principles and carnal agendas and incorporate them into the context of a spiritual battle that is totally disconnected from what God is focusing on. God has a master plan. God's master plan is that he will dwell with people and dwell with him. He's in the process of creating this heavenly kingdom of many nations that is going to have a government that is set up with his son Jesus as the king over that government. And so when we realize that we're part of that plan, then we have to work and not get distracted by things that are carnal and spiritual. So in Romans chapter 5, God tells us, he says, look, I want you to learn, I want you to grow up and mature and learn to agree in tribulation, because tribulation is my way of getting you more patience, more experience, and more hope, so that the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart, so that you can be prepared to withstand your next assignment, because whatever you've gone through today is nothing compared to what God is preparing you for in the future. If you look at any of the prophets, if you look at any of the men of God or women of God in the Bible, you can see that they went from grace to grace, and their future assignment was always more significant than their former assignment, but God was always with them, developing, preparing them, reminding them that their battle to fight, but it was for them to trust in him and obey him to gain through their confidence and their trust in him and their obedience to him, so that they could prevail in all things when the attacks came. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you, Pastor Carver, is when people are going through this battle in their mind, do they realize it's a battle in their mind? Do they understand that the fiery dart of the attack of doubt, worry, and fear in your mind is something that does not produce fruit until you allow that to come out of your mouth? The devil doesn't know if he's successful at or with this fiery dart until you open your mouth or you do something that lets him know that, oh, you're acting out of fear because you are believing or buying into the lie of the devil. What do you think about that, Pastor Carver? Are you there?
Yes. Well, the confession of your mouth is so, so important, especially when you're close to making, when God is dealing with key developmental issues in your life. And you're right, transition, what's coming next? You got to get this. If you don't get this, it's going to delay some things and hold some things up unnecessarily. So I had an example where every time I turned around, I was hearing scripture or some kind of admonition or some type of correction about your mouth and your words that come out of your mouth. And I said, okay, God, I know you're talking to me, you know, and it, literally I was surrounded by that. And he said, you know why your confession is so important right now? And so he started breaking it down to me about my confession. And he'll deal with me at times, too, about my internal confession, because what's in the heart going to come out the mouth. And so God is not just concerned about what comes out of your mouth. He's concerned about what is the root of what you say. And so that's why the word purifies and it sharpens and it's active and alive. There's so many positive, powerful things about the word of God. So say only the word of God and don't be robotic about it. Understand what it is in your heart so that it is truly a confession, so that it's truly a declaration, so that it's truly affirming, so that it's truly a decree in nature. And so when I started to get that, he was like, okay, so you'll be quiet about the things that shouldn't come out your mouth. But he said, then later on, we'll deal with where some of this stuff comes from, negative self-talk, right? That's a perfect example of, and a lot of times I may not say stuff out loud about myself, but I'll tell you, I'll hear it. Sometimes I'll hear it all day long. And it's like the Lord was like, don't be passive about what you're hearing. Come against it with the word of God and mean it and say only what I say about you. And that's why that's so key, is about the confession of your mouth. And God was dealing with me about word curses, and I'm going to share this and then let you move on to the next topic with this theme. Is he showed me what a one time I had a dream, and I saw bubbles like you blow children, we play with bubbles, and I saw words inside the bubbles, right? And I saw them floating all up in the sky. And once the bubbles popped, the words disappeared, right? So I woke up with that image in my mind, and the Lord said, those are word curses. And he said, just because they disappear doesn't mean they are not still seen and have an effect.
Wow.
And that was so profound for me, because he was showing me, don't be a part of a word curse and don't believe a word curse, and learn to discern and recognize them. Sometimes I truly believe that the tests and trials that we go through are brought on by our confession. God saying, I'm done, you're good, you're developed, and you still talking crazy and still repeating stuff. And he's like,
You will have what you say.
Exactly. Even though God has said you can have this, and he means what he says, he's not a liar and he's not a man that he has to repent. So that being the case, when he speaks over you, that's real. And I mean, up until probably a couple years ago, I didn't understand that. I didn't get that. But God, like I said, he'll break the word down so you can digest it and that it will be sustenance. It's not so deep that you can't get it. But God knows whatever is in the way of you not getting something, why you keep doing certain things. Why you keep speaking death when he's speaking life over you, when he's saying you can have this, you can do this. This is who you are. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Therefore, anything I say about you is truth, potential, not just on this day. It's true. It's true all day, every day. If God has said it about you, it's true. And
well,
so to say the opposite.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the story in the Gospels when Jesus Christ was in the boat with the disciples and they were in a storm and he was asleep and they woke him up. And they said, don't you care that we're out here and we're about to die? And they literally believed that there was a chance that they could die with Jesus Christ with them in the boat. And, of course, he had to rebuke them. And he was, you know, oh, ye of little faith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he spoke to the wind and he said, peace be still, right? And when you were saying your dream that you had, I don't dream very often, but when I do, I know it's significant And I had this dream that I meant to share with you, but I didn't. And it just came to mind now. And I literally was in this, it was in the ocean with these, it was a raging torrent. So the waves were in every different direction. And for some reason, I saw different names in each one of these waves describing each configuration of the ocean in its various forms. And the names of each one of these waves in its hostile form, in its aggressive form, was listed. It was, the names were showing up as they would change, and as the torrent, as the storm would change and shift. And I couldn't ponder what it meant. My thought was, wow, this is bizarre. And that was all that I could think of it. But one of the things that it makes me think of when I think about the fiery darts that come our way is that we can't control the thoughts that come to our mind, but we can control how we ponder those thoughts, how we process those thoughts, and how we act on those thoughts. And we can learn to call on the power of the Holy Spirit within us to rebuke the attacks of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. But also, when we've been studying God's word and we know what the word of God says, then we can literally replace that space where the fiery dart was with the word of God. And I think of it like plugging a hole into a wall that has been hit by an arrow, and you simply plug it with scripture. So I want to look at a couple of scriptures that will allow us to do this. One is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where it tells us, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us, right? We know that God cares for us, so we cast all of our burdens, all of our cares on him. And then he says in John 14:1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And see, Jesus Christ is the living word of God. We have to understand that everything comes back to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is through him that we have our deliverance. It is through him we have the victory. Look at one of the ways that we have the victory. And this is not going to be new to many of you, but it's important that we retain these scriptures in our heart so that we can plug these holes whenever the fiery darts show up, right? The attacks on our mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. See, and where I'm going to end with this is, so, and before we get back to the discussion, is right here in 1 John 4:18, where it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so God has given us the answer right here. He's saying, look, if you're afraid, then it's because you've not perfected your love walk. And so it becomes a requirement for each of us who wants to be free from fear to decide to perfect our love walk toward God, perfect our love walk toward ourselves, and perfect our love walk toward others. And when we do, then what we're going to find is we're in a place of power, because perfect love casts out fear. That's a powerful thing, to know that you have the power to cast out fear when you perfect your love walk, and to understand that there is no fear in love, right? So if the first and great commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love yourself and to love others, then what happens is God has given you the answer of how to live more than abundant life and be free from fear and free from suffering due to fear, because fear is just having anxiety, oftentimes unwarranted anxiety about things that might happen in the future or about things that people are threatening you with that might happen in the future. And because only God knows the future, you don't have to be afraid, because God says his plan for you is good. His plan for you is to prosper you and not to destroy you, right? So what are your thoughts about that, Vanessa? Pastor Carver. Pastor Vanessa Carver.
It's okay. I just want to also address this about your dream. That was powerful. We'll talk about that later, because that means a whole lot. And about dreaming, but it's like the word is very, very important. And when we're speaking, when we're going through tests and trials, when we're plugging holes, I like that analogy. But I also remember the analogy you gave years ago about spraying perfume. And so he used this analogy to explain about starting your day with the word and having the word cover you. He would watch me put on my perfume, and I was trying to save perfume by spraying it. I saw some trick or something, spraying it in front of me and walking through it. And he would see me do that all the time. And he used that to teach one day. And it stuck with me, and it still sticks with me. And about how important it is, I have done some study on Hebrew words, and I forget what scripture it is. You have to excuse me, but one of the terms they were saying in one of the scriptures had to do with the word surrounding you. And when I walk through that perfume is going to be on all the most important parts of my body, and that way I don't have to keep spraying or carry it with me and keep respraying, because it's going to be on my clothes and everything else. And so when we go through tests and trials, I used to hear this all the time about people saying being prayed up. But I also remember God giving me certain principles and revelation, and he would say that's for the days to come. Not saying that it was going to be through tests and trials necessarily, but it's like, where is your storehouse full? You know, based upon the things that you read, based upon the things that you're preparing for. To be honest, when we read the word, we don't know what we're preparing for. We're always preparing for something. God never is going to make sure we're off, you know, that we have everything that we need if we just remember what we have. And having that word with us, having it active in our lives, and like you're saying, the scripture about faith and having this issue of fear is big in our society, especially when people are basically taking possession of fear by saying, my anxiety, my this, my that, my depression. Stop taking ownership of stuff like that. If you're a child of God,
maybe that goes with their truth, where they're like, my truth.
Yeah.
So
and it's like that is self-defeating. That's self-negative talk. It's not your, does that anxiety possessive? Don't take possessive of something God didn't give you. Like Paul said, God has not given you that spirit of fear, right? But
Amen.
A power, love, and a sound mind. So you have to be careful what you're confessing. And like you were saying, that's your truth. No, that ain't the truth. That may be your truth, but that's not the truth that's going to save you and deliver you.
What stuck with me about that analogy that you remembered me using from decades ago was the beauty of watching Vanessa spray her perfume in front of her and then have her walk into it is literally what we do when we open our mouth and we say what the Word of God says. When we humble ourselves to the Word of God and we come into agreement with what the Word says, and no matter what we're looking at, we say what God says. When God says, you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you, that's what the Word of God says. When the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the Word of God says, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but I've been given a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. And you say those things in front of you, and then you walk into them. See, it has to come out of your mouth first before you can walk into it. And it's the same way when Vanessa sprayed that perfume in front of her in the air and she walked into it. Now, think about this. This is another truth about that analogy, is the devil is referred to as the prince of the power of the air, right? So now, if you fill the air waves with what the word of God says and not the lies coming from him to your mind, when you're not renewing your mind to the word, then what comes out of your mouth are not the lies and the fiery darts, the attacks of doubt, worry, and fear that come to you. You can't stop those things from coming to you because they're all around you. TV, the internet, the people you love, the people you hate, the people who hate you. These people are speaking all the time, and the devil is not going to quit, and we know he's not going to quit, and that means we have to be vigilant. And then when we practice saying what the word of God says, then what we walk into isn't going to be the lies of the devil. It's going to be the promises of God, and we're going to be blessed as a result. And that's the idea. The idea is to stop worrying about what the devil's doing, because that was taken care of over 2,000 years ago. And now we need to handle the business of reconciling the world back to God, because every born-again Christian is a minister of reconciliation, in fact. And your job is to win souls for the kingdom, and those people oftentimes are the people right in your house, right at your job, right next to your house, in your neighborhood, wherever you live. And so you have to get to work. And the devil's job is to distract you from that by making you full of doubt, worry, and fear, which is going to produce unbelief in your life. And unbelief is the opposite of belief. See, God's word says signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe. That's why we call ourselves believers. And if we do not believe, then what we're going to say is what the devil is saying to us, the lie that we are going to fail, that we're going to be destroyed, that we're going to lose, that we're not going to prosper, that we're going to get sick, that we're going to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And those things are not true, but if you don't renew your mind to the word of God, if you don't practice doing good, because see, the good is for you. It's going to benefit you to obey Jesus Christ, because you're going to receive God's love in a way that is so significant that it's not going to matter what's going on, whether it's good or whether it's bad or whether it's great or whether it's ugly. What's going to matter is you're going to know that God is with you no matter what's going on around you. And so the world is full of demons, but you have to understand that the world is also full of twice as many angels who have continued to serve God Almighty, who were not cast out of heaven, but continue to serve God, and they are working on our behalf, twice as many, right? So I want to ask Pastor Vanessa how you would plan to use this information in order to encourage someone else to no longer be held hostage by their fear.
Well, I would first of all talk to them and then pray with them. And my thing is this: we have to make the word practical. We have to make the word to where, not changing it, but be applicable to our situation ASAP. We don't have to sit and study and bring out lexicons unnecessarily just to understand the word to do it. So
Amen.
My prayer in itself would be to make it practical, and God and Holy Spirit would be assisting me, helping them. Prayer, where he says, don't pray, talk to them. Talk to them like I talk to you. Break it down to them. Let them know their love. Let them know whatever God is leading me to say about fear. Also, be realistic based on what the Lord is saying, because he could say, this is going to take more than one session. This is going to take you both praying together or you interceding for them and standing in the gap for them until they get to a place where they're stronger. More developed in this area where they're not allowing the fear to beat them up. Because sometimes we need to fight for each other. And that's what intercession is about. It's about us seeking the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving, prayer and supplication. So intercession is part of the supplication aspect. And we have to be willing to do that for one another the way God tells us to do it. See, that's the caveat. The way the Lord tells us to do it. So we can't say, yeah, when I was fearful, God did this and this. Now, that's great, sharing your testimony and being transparent at the same time. What is God saying to that particular person about their fear? A lot of times, you're right. He'll say, give them 10 scriptures and tell them every time there's a scripture that, you know, based on fear, talk about it with them. Break it down to them where they can believe it.
I'm going to make it even simpler, because tonight, you need to write this down. Is the answer to dispelling fear, chasing fear away, is perfecting your love walk. Remember, and this is so true. 1 John 4:18, write this verse down. There is no fear in love, right? So now, if you're afraid, then the question is, why am I afraid? Okay? Why am I afraid? Am I not trusting God? Do you understand that trusting God is a command? It's a command. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That is literally telling you to reject your understanding. It's telling you to reject what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, and then trust God. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Reject your own understanding. And in all your ways, he will direct your paths, right? So God is ordering your steps. And so loving God is trusting God. And when you don't trust God, you're not loving God, because now you're saying God is not powerful enough to work in your situation. And that's a lie. And so you have to get honest with you about who you think God is to you. If God is your heavenly Father, then your heavenly Father is not going to allow you to perish. He loves you, and he's going to keep his word to you. So trust him and test him and test him. And that's another thing. When we talk about the spiritual versus the carnal, I'll tell you what drives me crazy. Is listening to these pastors talk about your credit score like it means something. And it doesn't. It doesn't. Because your Heavenly Father owns everything. He created it all. And so now all you have to do is believe. And you, when you ask, you have to believe. But you know what's required in order for you to receive? You got to obey. You got to obey his word. You got to do what he says, right? And it starts with loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Meaning you trust him, you please him, you serve him, and you obey him without question. Then it says you will have what you say. Whatsoever ye ask in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, you will have. And so we have to grow to that point. And I would not... I'd be being dishonest if I said, I've arrived. No, but I know I'm on my way. I'm doing a lot better. It says, but perfect love casteth out fear. So now when fear shows up, what does perfected love do? What does perfect love do? Perfect love kicks it where it needs to be kicked and sends it away with the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is commanded to leave, because perfect love casts out fear. And then it says the reason that there is no fear in love is because fear hath torment. See, it's not God's will for us to be tormented. And I was thinking about the story of Job, right? Job was actually tormented before he was tempted. The devil's children, they're tempted before they're tormented. They're tempted to and seduced to curse God and bow down and kiss the ring of the devil and sell their soul to the devil. And after they got what they wanted and they made their deal, then he torments them. Well, with Job, it had to be different because Job was what God called he was a perfect man according to God's estimation. God said that Daniel, Job, and Noah were perfect men in his eyes. And so when God said that Job was perfect, the devil said, yeah, Job's perfect because you gave him everything. And then God said, all right, well, you can take all stuff away and see what he does, right? And he took all stuff away. And see, that was the beginning of Job being tormented. But after being tormented, the devil tried to use that to tempt Job to curse God. And both times, after he took all his stuff and killed his kids, and then the second time after he touched his body with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, Job still did not curse God. And that is a powerful thing. And to understand that, to be tormented first and then tempted is what the devil has to do when you are sold out to God, when you're prayed up, when you've fasted, when you've been fellowshipping with like-minded believers, when you renew your mind to the Word of God and are being transformed by the Word of God. God says, not only am I bringing you out, I'm going to restore all that was affected by whatever came your way, whatever the storm altered. God's plan for us is always good. And so he says that we will be subject to all things common to man, but he's not going to allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can endure. And in addition to that, he says, along with the temptation, he's going to make a way of escape. We have to stand on that promise so that we can truly get glory for God and stop acting like it's possible for the devil to win, because the devil's a professional loser. He goes from low to low to low, and he needs to be treated as such. But we give the devil too much power, as if he wasn't stripped of all that power on the day of Pentecost. And so I'm going to let Pastor Carver close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a closing song.
That was really powerful. Everything that you were saying, just taking that one scripture and showing people the practical process. And because people need to understand that they're empowered through the word as long as they apply it, not because they read it, not because they memorize it, but because they
Amen.
Do it.
Amen.
And so that was really powerful. I'm not going to add to that or take away from anything you said, but I'm going to close with prayer. Father God, thank you today for your might, for your strength, for your love, for your presence on this broadcast tonight. Thank you, Lord, today that we pray for every person, every woman, every man of God who is dealing with tests and trials, who is suffering for whatever reason. I thank you, Lord, today that they gain insight, that they become more mature, that they even draw closer to you, and knowing that without you, they can't make it through the test and trial to be developed, to be effectual in their ministry or in their relationships or whatever the issue may be. I just thank you, Lord, today for your glory and your prayer. Everything you do is for a purpose, and you are not a haphazard God or God that chaos on us just to do it. You're not an arbitrary or a God that just plays with us. You love us, and you have an order and a reason and a purpose for everything that you do. You're not a God that's capricious or reckless. And I just thank you, Lord, today for you being sovereign and loving and mighty and faithful and a God of peace and a God of wisdom. And I pray tonight, Father God, that this broadcast will bless someone else. I definitely was encouraged just by sharing with Bishop Carver. I thank you, Lord, today for what this show represents and the ears that it will reach and the hearts that it will touch. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. The stress, the depressed. And with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. My brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa struggling with AIDS, in Brazil, the States. I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life. You are the head and not the tail. I speak life. Don't give up the fight for your life. You shall live and not die. Let's not lose another person to a senseless death. Substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me sing it.
I speak life. You're gonna live. Oh, my brother.
Say it again.
I speak life. You are the head and not the tail. You will prevail.
No!